You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, how's everyone going? Good. It's great to see you in church today. Who's ready to hear the word of the Lord? I think it's really important for us as followers of Jesus to make sure that our salvation, that our pursuit of Jesus, our discipleship, is centered around the word of God. Nothing else could be truer than Jesus and the Word of God. And today on Pentecost Sunday, we're gonna look at the scriptures a bit. And I don't have a long message this morning. I just wanted to make sure we've got time this morning just to also experience the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. Amen. And we do that every week, but it's like let's just as a church be reminded of the gift that God has given to us. You know, for those of you who are unfamiliar with Pentecost, you know, we celebrate Pentecost not out of tradition or observation. Let's be clear about that. It's not something we just do once a year because it's like, oh, it's on the calendar. Let's celebrate Pentecost. No, for us, Pentecost is every day. Holy Spirit is with us every day, every day. And it's bigger than a religious day on a calendar. It's a day where we get to celebrate God's faithfulness and commitment to his promises. God is a God who keeps his promises. He said that he'd send the Holy Spirit, sent the Holy Spirit. I'm so grateful that God is a God who keeps his promises. We celebrate that God sent the Holy Spirit. God sent his power to equip us for purpose. Amen. You know what? For those of you who aren't familiar with the history of Pentecost, Pentecost goes back before. It was a festival that the people of Israel used to celebrate. Long-standing harvest festival. And who knows what the word Pentecost means in the Greek? 50. Who said that? Someone whispered it because they were like, am I right? 50th. And it specifically, we celebrate Pentecost 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. And I want to encourage you today that this isn't a tradition. I'm going to say it a couple of more times. This is not a tradition. This is something that we get to experience. We get to experience this. Yes, it's one of our Christian celebrations, but it's an experience that we celebrate. We're celebrating the descent of the Holy Spirit after Jesus ascended. You know, 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus ascended, and the 50th day, God sent the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I want to encourage you with this. Some of you are like, oh, what's the big deal about the Holy Spirit? This is the big deal. Salvation had come, but Jesus' plan was far from over. We were restored back to God the Father through salvation. Through the cross, through the burial, through the resurrection, Jesus made a way. But it was far from over. When you hear us talk about this thing, that we talk about salvation is the beginning. Salvation is the beginning of your discipleship walk. And this is what we mean when salvation is the beginning, because what comes next is the power of the Holy Spirit that God wants to give to everybody who is willing to receive the gift. There is more to experience with God. Salvation is the beginning, but there's more to experience. There's more to our formation as disciples. There's more that God wants to do in and through us. It doesn't stop at salvation. It begins at salvation. You know, I want us to look at some of the significant parts of Pentecost. We don't have enough time to go through all of the significance of Pentecost this morning, but I just want to look at some of the significant parts of Pentecost. And I want us to look at God's promise, God's power, God's purpose, and then when we get to the end, we're going to talk about God's experience. And if we focus in on the promise a little bit, I want to give you some biblical foundations to stand on this morning, so that when we come towards the end, you have an understanding that this is all breathed in the scriptures. Luke 24:49 says this, and we talk about promise. It says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from high. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. I want to encourage you here. This is God the Father. And Jesus saying, don't leave. Don't leave the city. I want to encourage you that type of urgency. It's like, oh, I can do it next week. I can do it the week after. I'll spend a bit of time. I'll respond to the altar call in 4 weeks because it fits my schedule better. Don't leave until you've been clothed with power. Put yourself in a place, like Jesus asked his disciples to put themselves in a place to be clothed with power from on high. Acts 1:4 says this: on one occasion, while he was eating with them, this is Jesus eating with the disciples, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gifts my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Acts 1 verse 8, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There's a promise to each and every believer. And that promise is the Holy Spirit. You know, what I love about this promise is it's more than just an experience for you to experience. There is way more purpose than just the experience. Is the experience beautiful and wonderful? 100%. But it's for so much more than that. You know, we look at this Acts 1 verse 8. You receive power, but then you'll be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of... There is a purpose to the promise. I want to encourage you that there is going to be time this morning for you to just a fresh experience of the Holy Spirit, a fresh moment with the Holy Spirit. But remember, it's for a reason. It's for a reason. God will come into your heart. He will fill you. He will restore you. He will refine you. He will make you whole in your formation. But it's also for the people around you. May we be people who deliver the peace of the Holy Spirit around us. Maybe we'd be people who deliver the power of the Holy Spirit to people around us. I guarantee you there are people coming into your mind right now in your workplace who you study with, who is like, those individuals could do with some of that. Newsflash, you are the person that God has put in their world to deliver it to them. This is our calling, amen. Let's talk about the power for a moment this morning. You know, Acts 2, starting in verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, did I put that scripture in or did I muck up? I mucked it. Wow, that would be 100% my fault. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I mean, what a moment. What a moment. Nothing like it had ever happened before. Yet we've seen God revealed in fire to Moses. Yes, we've seen Jesus come and appear in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So we see this pattern of fire being revealed through it. But now the fire of the Holy Spirit comes and rests on us as individuals. Not for an experience, but to be with us always. Not just a burning bush moment, not just being thrown into the fiery furnace moment, but to come and empower us with power from on high, to be clothed with power from on high. You know, for those of you who've experienced that power, do you remember the moment that God poured out his Spirit upon you? Think back for a moment. Some of us have got to think back further. Do you remember that moment when God's Spirit poured out upon you? You began to speak in other tongues. You may not have experienced this yet, but I want to encourage you, it's available for every believer. It's not something that we're going to like push on you. No, it's just a gift that's available from God. God promised it. And he's made it available for every believer, the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift, just like salvation is a gift to every single one of us. You know, I remember the moment when God came and filled me with his power and I began to speak in other tongues. I was in year 10, still at school, just hanging on by a thread. You know, the youth group that I went to at the time did this October long weekend camp. And it was just so much fun. All the rat bags got together, did crazy things, kept the youth leaders up like most of the night. It was the greatest time of the year. You know, it was on the coast. It was a moment. And there was a huge group of teenagers, all at camp for different reasons, mind you. For some, their mum made them go. For others, it was at the beach. For other people, it was like, well, my friends are here, so I'll go. Whatever their reason was, at that moment when the youth group was waiting on God patiently, at that moment when a young group of people decided that they wanted heaven to come to earth, at that moment when they heard the scriptures spoken about God's promise, the power of God broke through whatever their reason was to be there. Heaven came to earth, destinies were rerouted, lives were forever changed as the Spirit poured out on a bunch of hungry young people. Can I encourage you? The same is available for us today. The same is available for us every day. This promise, this power of God, the Spirit of God wants to fill you to overflowing. Let's talk about the purpose for a moment this morning. I can reflect back on my time at October long weekend camp, and it's like I could get up every Sunday. It's like, you know, church, you remember. You may have heard this story. Mind you, it's probably the first time I've ever told that story in church. But I could be like, I remember what God did back then when I was in year 10. It's like I was 15 years old. And if I stay in that experience, I lose sight of the fact that God did it for a reason. He wanted to reform me, wanted to empower me to do things in the kingdom, to do things for the people around me, to be a beacon of light and hope to the people in my world. God has that for every single one of us. It's not exclusive. It's for the church. It's for the bride of Christ. Let's be clear today when we talk about purpose. The filling of the Spirit is for purpose. You know, God didn't want us to be alone when Jesus ascended. One of the purposes is that God speaks to us through his Spirit to teach us and remind us of who we're called to be, to help us as we're on that journey. And he brings to our attention, it's like, ah, yes, I would like to take that from you. That can't be part of your journey anymore. And he speaks to us gently. And we, you know, if we're in the right space, we respond and we're like, yeah, refine that out of me, Lord. Your Spirit spoke to me. I know that you've revealed it to your Spirit so that he could have a chat to me. I want to get rid of that too. I don't want to walk with that either. You know, John 14, 26 says this, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. You know, another of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to empower us, to help us do God's will. You know, some of those things that are really difficult to do by ourselves, the Holy Spirit has been sent to remind us. It's like, this is what the scriptures say. This is what God has called you to. This is the will of God for your life. And he reminds us. This is the holiness that you've been called to. He reminds us in these moments. Some people just put it down to, oh, that's just like my conscience. Now, if you're a believer, that is not your conscience. That is the Holy Spirit coming to you and saying, that's not the life I've called you to live, sister. That's not the life I've called you to live, brother. Come up the mountain. I've got a journey for you to take. Philippians 2:13 says this, yes, it's God who is working on you. Helps you to do what pleases him, and he gives you the power to do it. That's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives you the power to do what pleases God the Father. Ephesians 3:16 says, I pray out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Why? For purpose, to do what pleases God the Father, to join in the kingdom commission, to see the people in our world hear the good news of Jesus, to hear people who without food have food, to see people who are without water have water. It's the heart of Christ, the purpose that we're called to. You know, the last thing I want to focus on this morning is experience. You know, we experience the promise. Can I encourage you? We read the scriptures, you know, God the Father wants to send you this promise. The promise is not to just be like caught and tucked in your pocket. It's like, so I experienced it once. That's enough. I'm good. Going to tuck that in the pocket. And if anyone ever asks me about it, it's like, yep, here it is. I've got my card. Photo's a bit old, but I've got my card. So no, that experience, the power to be equipped to fulfill the purpose of God. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. To share the goodness of Jesus to those who are nearby, to those who are far away, to those in the end of the earth. You know, the experience of God's Spirit was always for a purpose. And this will be up on the screen. It was never to idolize the experience. Rather, it was to point others away from their idols towards the Savior of the world. That's the power that we carry. Can I encourage you, if you're fighting with idols in your life right now, get yourself in an experience with the Holy Spirit where he will point you towards everything that God has for you. If you've got addictions in your life right now, get yourself an experience with the Holy Spirit where the Holy Spirit will point you towards everything that God has for you, his perfect will. It's like, you don't know how long I've battled these things, Pastor. Can I encourage you? There's probably four other people within a meter's touch of you who are like, oh, I've got stuff going on as well. And you think you're the only one. Yeah. No, we are human and God is refining us, but we must put ourselves in a place to be encountered with the Holy Spirit so God can help us do something about it. You will never beat it in your own power, only the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Only the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, Acts 2:17 says this, God says, in the last days, I will pour my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will have special dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit on my servants. Anyone here a servant of God this morning? I'll take it. I will pour my spirit on my servants, men and women, and they will prophesy. Can I encourage you? Sometimes we can get the understanding that to prophesy means that you must have one of these in your hands. If you're waiting to get one of these in your hands to prophesy after the Holy Spirit is poured out, this, just to be clear, just in case, you know, because I understand there's people who wrestle, oh, I just want to serve you, Lord, and maybe this is your understanding of serving. This is 1% of my week. But the most powerful moments are when I'm sitting down with people in my office or in the foyer and we're just having a chat and the Spirit of God just brings something and quickens something and I just gently release it through normal words. No, thus says the Lord God of hosts. No, it's with like relationship. It's with sitting with people on their journey, in their darkest moments and their mountaintop moments and everything. We get to walk together. Why have the gifts been given to the body? To strengthen the body. If God puts something on your heart and it's not weird, I'll talk about that in a little bit. But what I mean by that is, if it doesn't line up with the scriptures, then you need to process it. You need to sit in it and maybe you need to go speak to someone, a leader or someone who's further ahead on the journey of working through those things. It's like, God spoke to me about this. Can you maybe tell me how I might actually share that with someone? Why do I say that could be a pathway for you? The gifts are to edify the body, not to damage the body. So as you're trying to figure it out, you need to actually be around people who have done it a little bit more than what you have. You need to be in a discipleship journey so that it can be an edification to the body and not something that brings a wound. Maybe some of you have had to walk that journey of being wounded by people. Maybe they're sitting in the room next to you right now, but it's part of being in the body of Christ. But I say that clearly because I want it to be an edification, not something you're like, I'm sitting in another row next week. See, the power of the Holy Spirit working through the believer is for strengthening another believer. It is a beautiful thing. The power of the Holy Spirit working through people is so that those who don't know Jesus yet can hear the goodness of God and respond to salvation. And I say this to all of us. What are we? What are you doing right now to make sure that you're ready to hone and refine your life so that you're ready to speak the wonders of God's will and purpose to others? You know, I don't want to preach, Pastor. I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking about you're a nurse and you're on the ward and an intern comes through and you're like, bam, God just is like, there is a gift on their life. They are called to be here. This is the very place that God has them on their journey and walk. What are you going to do with that? So I'm not their mentor. I'm not talking about being their mentor. There is a word of encouragement. There is a prophecy. But you're not going to say, and thus says the Lord, your scrubs are the right thing to be wearing. No. So I saw you and I've seen the way that you've been working. I want to encourage you. What you're doing right now, yes, there's a skill set, but God has called you. You might not use the word God. Depends, maybe you work in a Christian hospital, you can get away with it. You get what I'm saying, right? What are you doing right now to hone and refine so you can speak the wonders of God's purpose to others? If the answer is, I'm in the Word, I'm praying, I'm in discipleship, I'm accountable to people who are anointed to care for me and equip me, I'm actively seeking to become more like Christ. If this is your practice, amazing. May God pour it out in a higher measure. If your answer to these things is, it's in my heart to do those things, I'm encouraging you today. I'm encouraging you. Now is the time. Take up your cross. Pursue the greater things that God has for you and for His bride. Experience the outpouring of God's Spirit and be refined and ready to share God's will with others. There is indeed an expectation that should be in every single one of us to use wisdom, to use humility. We share prophecy, we prophesy and we interpret dreams and visions. There should be a godly wisdom attached to it. But the beauty of believers that are living out the scriptures is a moment to behold and celebrate. Why do we even get to behold and celebrate that? Because God sent the Holy Spirit. Because God sent the Holy Spirit. You know, we talk about the experience. The experience led Peter and the disciples to stand outside, to preach the gospel to at least 3,000 men who responded to the gospel. Well, that's baseline number there. That's the minimum number because there would have been women, children, other people who didn't respond at the time. But 3,000 people, Acts 2, 43 to 47, we see Peter pleading with people to accept Jesus, the Savior of the world. And those people accepted Jesus and 3,000 of them were baptized after they accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. The experience they had led them immediately to the purpose that God had for the people who were there at that time. And after that point in time, from verse 42, we see all of a sudden the believers like, we need to come around the teachings, we need to learn, we need to be in discipleship, we need to be together. What we see here, this moment, all the way through to verse 47, this moment where people have been added to the church on a daily basis, this moment was the tremor that burst the church as we know it. Sometimes we can think of things in history. No, we are part of this story. This story continues today from Jesus all the way through to now, from Adam and Eve all the way through to now. See, the good news was preached by a group of people that had waited for the promise, that had received the power and devoted themselves to his purposes. I want to encourage you, just as you close your eyes this morning, you know, Jesus was sent by God to redeem the world, to redeem people back into relationship with God. It was broken with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus, his son, was God's way of dealing with it forevermore. It's finished, as Grant said earlier. And I encourage you, if you don't know Jesus personally today, this is an invitation, not a push. This is an invitation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. That's why God sent Jesus his son, so that you could be in a relationship with him, have eternal life with him. And this morning, I just want to simply give you the opportunity to receive relationship with God through Jesus, to be known as a son and daughter of God, to no longer have the battle of sin in your life, because Jesus came to take all of our sin, to forgive us so that we could walk blameless with God. Such a beautiful thing. And so if that's you today, I'm gonna pray a prayer in a moment. And that prayer is a prayer of salvation, asking God to come and dwell in our hearts. And if that's you, I'm going to invite you to pray that prayer with us. The church is going to pray it too. But just with everyone's eyes closed for a moment, this is not so other people can look at you in this moment. This is between you and God. And I want to give you the opportunity that if you don't know Jesus personally and you say, yeah, I want a personal relationship with him, I want to invite you just to lift your hand up in a moment. And once you've put your hand up, you can put it back down. And it's not, I don't need to see your hand. This is about you saying to God, yeah, I'm responding to what you've offered, Jesus. If that's you, on the count of three, I invite you to lift your hand. You can put it back down. 1, 2, 3. No one's looking around. Anyone say, yep, thank you. Anyone else today? Yeah, thank you. Anyone else be like, yeah, I want to know God personally. Don't let this moment escape you today. This is a beautiful moment. This is a moment. Maybe there's been a misunderstanding that God was mean. No, God is love. God loves you. There may be a whole lot of circumstances that have happened in your life and in your world, but God sits outside of those things and says, I want a relationship with you. Anyone else before we pray this morning? All right, we're going to pray. If you didn't put your hand up, it's not about hands this morning. It's about hearts. God is interested in your heart. I want to invite you to pray this prayer if that's what you want to do this morning as well. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus. I believe that Jesus went to the cross, he was buried, and rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. I choose this day to turn on my old life and walk towards you. I repent of my sin. From this day on, I follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.